Blog Talk Radio.
Kick it off with our theme song tonight, Manic Monday.
Just another Manic Monday. Wish it was Sunday. That's my Sunday. I don't have to run away. Just another Manic Monday. Hey, hey. Wish it was Sunday.
Hello, everyone, and everyone that's in the chat room, everyone that's listening somewhere else on the internet, welcome to Manic Monday.
You are the show.
Happy Manic Monday, everyone. Today is November 12, 2012, and I'd like to say thank you all for being here with us on the Rad Reality Show Network. Tonight we're featuring the Manic Monday Show, hosted by Michelle Costa from Big Brother 10. My name is Cherry Garcia. I'll be your co-host tonight. We also have Mr. Paul from Minnesota, our clip master, who makes sure we have amazing clips on each and every one of our shows. How are you tonight, Paul?
I am great, and I just started singing. I'm sorry.
Are you going to sing all of your answers through the show?
No. Oh, my God. People would be tuning out quickly if that happened.
Oh, my goodness. We have to absolutely bring up the one and only, the Portuguese princess, the star and host of our show, Miss Michelle Costa. How are you, dear?
What's going on, Cherry and Paul? Happy Manic Mondays, and definitely happy Veterans Day to all you
Absolutely.
Vets out there. Yeah, that served, are serving, or you have family that served, whatever the case may be, you've been, you know, involved in that life of making sure that our country is, you know, secure. And taking good
thank
care
you,
of us.
Dear.
So I want to thank you. Yeah, thanks. I don't know. Just past couple of days has been a time to kind of reflect, and you know, you just kind of want to salute all those veterans, you know, and people serving. So
we have Chi-Town Joe in the chat again tonight, who was also a veteran. Yesterday actually was the official Veterans Day. But a lot of people have today off as a Monday holiday. But we played a medley of the Armed Forces songs at the beginning of the show last night. And I didn't talk with you about that, Cherry. Did you like that? Was that fun?
I loved it. And I also loved that you had the words that you put in the chat room. That was a great touch.
Okay, Michelle, here's what I did. I had the lyrics to every one of the songs because they rotate, you know, and they say the Coast Guard, you know, the Air Force, Navy. And what I tried to do was, as they introduced the song coming up, I tried to quickly post in the chat room the lyrics to each one of the Armed Services songs.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was like three minutes and 30 30-something minutes long. And he did a great job at keeping up with it and putting in the words to the chat room. And it was a great tribute to our veterans and all of the different, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the
mm-hmm.
Coast Guard, all of them. He did a great job in doing it all and keeping up with it in the chat room. It was a great tribute, and I think you did a wonderful job, Paul.
Good job, Paul.
Thank you. And I want to hear about football yesterday, Michelle.
Oh, well, let's talk a little football. I'll just let you guys know we're going to have Gene from the Glass House. He will be calling in. He is on set. So we're going to be on the set, which means sometimes he has to be quiet. Sometimes he might be doing a stunt while he's on the air. So, yeah. So we'll see what happens. Or he might just go down in the break room and then talk. It does. Who knows? But you never know on this epic Mondays.
I would assume he is. But do you know, Michelle, if he is a Bears fan?
You know, I think he is. I believe he is. I believe me and him had a conversation about that because my brother's a Bears fan. And Ron was a Bears fan, and so I think we had a conversation about it. But I didn't want to talk too much about it because, talking about the Bears. I'd rather talk about the Patriots. But anyway, well, speaking of the Patriots, of course, I worked yesterday the game. It was just so – it's amazing to be in that stadium. Every single time I go in there, it's like a little kid or – just like the first person somebody walked, I get goosebumps, right? And you can hear like 75,000 plus people screaming at the top of their lungs when something good, when something bad. There's just so much going on. It's so awesome. And, of course, they
just
won.
Just put in the chat room, dear Michelle Costa, please take me with you one day.
Yes, I'm going to have to sneak her in my bag. Hopefully there's no bad check that day. Yeah, of course you have to have like a certain badge. You get up the wand to make sure you have no pistols. They check your bag. They check your bag when you leave. You can't bring food. Excuse me. And so they're pretty hardcore, but I can like try to sneak her in. I'll see what I can do. This is just BB Love. She's now on the over 21 side. She's getting old. Anyway, but yeah, it was awesome. And I love football, so yesterday was such a great day.
Yeah, well, I loved football yesterday, too, because the Vikings won.
And that's good, see?
We have our bye week is coming up. I know the Patriots just came off their bye week, but our bye week is coming up next Sunday. And our first game after our bye week, so about 2 weeks from today, is Minnesota at the Bears.
Oh, and are you guys like kind of like a rivalry a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I had to do last night, Michelle? I had to step in for Ron. Paul was, bragging on his Vikings win, and I just had to step in for Ron a little bit, and I played the Bears song.
Oh, boy. Yes.
Just for Ron. You know, Ron would have wanted to do that. He loved his Bears, and Paul was talking about the Vikings so much, and I was like, this is what Ron would have wanted.
Yeah, well, of course, he would have played it.
Absolutely.
I was not talking as much about the Vikings as I was saying that by the time that our show ended, the Bears had lost. So
that's a true statement.
Yep.
I was just about to say that. I think that the Bears lost last night, so that's why my brother stopped sending me text messages. It started off good at first, and then you can tell how it's going to go. Either they're back-to-back or they start, there's a few more minutes apart. Then it turns into a half hour, then it turns into an hour, and then, that's how it is.
Yeah.
But it's a funny thing. I barely made it on the show, you guys, today. You know that, right? Barely.
I was so worried about you. I was so worried about you driving in rush hour traffic trying to make it in time for the show.
Barely.
I know.
Barely. I mean, I ended up having to work late, and I was over an hour away, and then there was an accident, and there was just, like, so much going on. My phone was just about to die and all this stuff. But I made it by the skin of my teeth. And the first thing that I said when we came on the line before we aired was that I wish I had a helicopter, right? I wish I had a helicopter because it would have just saved the day, kind of like what Bob Kraft shows up every game in a helicopter. And, you know, Cherry, you said something funny, and I want to touch a little bit on that. And let's have a little conversation before Gene comes up. Now, Cherry said, well, Cherry, do you want to say what you said to me?
I want a Jetson mobile. I've wanted a Jetson mobile for years and years and years, and they just won't make one for me.
Oh, my gosh. I think every single person wanted a Jetson car. It turns into a briefcase.
I
and
so wish I had.
Fly around and hover around, and you don't have to deal with traffic.
I know. Paul, what cartoon vehicle would you like? Because we're going to talk about cartoon vehicles.
No, right? I don't have another choice. My choice
you
is absolutely the Jetsons. I loved that cartoon and thinking about it. I just wish that I had that theme song up online now that we're talking about.
Oh, my gosh.
Meet George Jetson, his wife,
his boy, wait, that's right, his wife, Judy, his boy, Elroy, Jane. No, no. Jane is a second.
And
his daughter, Jane, his wife. Dun, 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 dun. Now, not only would I want the car, but I would want the, remember they used to, like a clamp used to come down and get you out of bed and then put you in the shower and dress you. And then Rosie would pop out like freshly baked muffins out of her belly.
We all want Rose for a robot, but how about Rastro?
Oh.
I love him.
Oh. Well, like, you know, I kind of was thinking about it, and I was like, well, that's a really, really good transportation to have is a Jetsmobile. But how many of you guys would have wanted the Flintstones mobile? I mean, they didn't have a motor. Their feet did all the work.
I
right?
had a car that was kind of like the Flintstones mobile. It was a VW. And
rusted.
And the floorboard rusted out.
Oh, goodness. I'm sure we
didn't want to hit a puddle. Literally, you would get splashed.
So, as everyone's saying, they would not want to have a Flintstone mobile because it's just obviously the Jetsons is a lot better. And,
yeah.
You know, you'd have to definitely get a pedicure all the time. You know? But what about the Simpson mobile? Okay. Now, he crashes it every beginning of the show right into the garage. So, you know, there's not one that I would want. But you know what? I was thinking, might not be transportation, but I would love to be Inspector Gadget. He would stay wherever he wanted to, and he would just say, go, go, Gadget, arm. And his arm would go and just do anything, or go, go, Gadget, leg, right? And that's pretty cool. You don't even have to go anywhere. Your arms and your legs do all the work. What do you guys think?
I thought I'd just be a genie
and just fold my arms and blink.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
I thought of another vehicle, though. The car from, oh, shoot.
Car 54, where are you?
The car, no. Car 54, where are you? No, the black car in the truck.
Knight Rider?
Yes.
Kit?
Kit, yes.
How could you forget Kit?
I had a brain fart. Listen, last night Louis says, you know what, guys, I'm not really that concerned about turning 50 on Thursday. He said, but that just means I'm 10 years closer to turning the really scary age of 60. And I just flipped him a bird, virtual bird.
Oh,
so,
but you know what? 50 is a new 20. That's what I hear.
We now have your special guest, And we actually have some music to introduce him to the show with.
Nice.
So I'm going to play that now, and we'll be bringing Gene from the Glass House on with us live in just a moment.
Oh, I have a little letter here. Got to read this letter for you. It's from Huntley, Montana, and it comes from Dan Parlish, and he says, "I love Gene, Gene the Dancing Machine. I just wish you'd give him another chance." So, all right, let's give him another chance. Lay it on now. Here comes.
Thank you so very much for calling in to the Rad Reality Show Network. How are you tonight on Manic Monday?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Gene. What's up? It's Michelle. How are you?
Costa. Oh, my God. I love you. What's going on?
Oh, my gosh.
I got to give you guys this disclaimer right now. I am literally, this is how awesome you guys are. I'm actually on set right now for Mob Doctors, and I'm calling you guys in between takes. So.
Oh, my God. Hey, Gene, it's Paul from Minnesota. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
Okay. I love the Mob Doctor. That's one of my scripted shows that I knew this season. How fun.
Yeah. Super, super fun. However, it's I think it's 32 degrees outside right now, so I am freezing my tail off.
Oh, my God.
It is cold here in the Midwest.
Yeah, it is. It is. Anyway, what's going on, guys? What's shaking?
Well, what's going on the set? Like, can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing real quick?
Obviously, as you guys know, I'm a stuntman. So today my day consisted of running up and down the street and trying not to get shot. So that's pretty much the day right now. Right now we're doing this is the last scene of the day. So that's where we are right now. I'm hoping we get rat free soon because the stuntman is tired and cold.
All right. Oh. I need to know. I'm going to butt my way in here. What stunts have you
done? What stunts do I do?
What stunts have you done on set for the show?
For this show? You know, this is my first day working on Mob Doctors. So all I've done today so far is a little bump in action. So got a little paid to run, paid to fall down a little bit. So. nothing extreme yet. I don't get shot till later on. So,
I gotta
stick around for a little while before I get shot.
Yeah.
Well,
exciting, Gene. That's awesome.
You've got a long way. When you fall down, though, you've got a long way to fall. You're that could be hurt.
He's
hurt.
So tall. Like he
I
is.
Know.
He's like.
You know what?
Football player. He's like, oh.
Two things some man never leaves home without: elbow and knee pads, right there. That's why.
I can tell you guys this. He's not just a stuntman, but he can dance.
Oh.
He can dance.
I try to keep that on the low key. That's my secret weapon, if you will.
So
it's
Gene,
like, oh,
Gene, the Dancing Machine was a good clip to play, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I may not be Brad Pitt, but for what I lack in that department, I am definitely an active dancer, so there you go.
Whoa!
I'm like the tall, brown version of Magic Mike.
Ooh, Magic Mike, that was a good movie.
But with a pony keg instead of a six-pack.
Oh my gosh. Well, Gene, thank you so much for taking the time out to call us here at Manic Mondays. Definitely were talking about the Glass House. I wanted to get your take a little bit on it. First off, how is your overall experience on it? I mean, I thought you did such a great job. And what did you take from it, and what was your entire experience?
You know, I had a great time. The entire experience from all the way from casting all the way through the actual show, through the finale, and then kind of my post relationships with people from, I mean, everything associated with the Glass House for me has been just great. It's opened up all kinds of awesome opportunities. Being at the house is just, I mean, we're normal people that are given the chance of a lifetime to do something extraordinary, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, I can't think of a better way to spend a summer than the way I spent the 3 months over this summer.
It would have been great if you had won. You were right there near the end.
So close. You know what? It doesn't bother me, though, because I felt that I knew from day one that if I won, I wanted to win as me, and if I lost, I wanted to lose as me. And at a certain point in the game, I knew that there was some stuff that some concessions that would need to be made if I was going to win. I just wasn't willing to do that. So to this day, I stand 100% behind every decision that I made for myself in that game.
Okay, good. Well, we did see, like, you had a very close relationship with Joy. Do you guys still talk? Are you guys in still communication? How is that relationship, if you want to talk about it?
I don't want to talk about it. No. You know what? Joy's awesome. Joy is one of my really, really good friends. We got really super close in the house, and, I mean, obviously everyone kind of saw. So what you guys saw is one thing, and then what actually kind of happened is something totally different. So, but we got super close in the house, and, I mean, I was just hanging out with her, last weekend, 2 weekends ago, something like that. So,
Hey, Gene, speaking of Joy, I just took a peek at an earlier episode, and what do I click on to start playing it? Because I've got them recorded on my computer. But it was the one where Joy is sitting on Jeffrey's lap and they're kissing. Jeffrey's ready to talk, so I was kind of segueing into that.
You know, that's a great segue for Jeffrey. Let's get some. I want Jeffrey in here so he can hear my personal commentary for what I feel about that situation.
You know, I sent him a message to do a reunion. I haven't heard back, so I don't know what's going on, Mr. Jeffrey.
He's here.
He's where?
He should be here. I talked to Jeffrey literally a little while ago. He's supposed to be here.
Let's bring him up on air right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Mr. Jeffrey, how are you?
Hi, how's it going, everybody? Michelle, I'm so sorry I've been off the grid, you know, hurricane and all.
Oh, well, you know, I know what you're talking about because I didn't get as bad as you did, but I did have no power for about a day and a half. But
I heard.
Jeffrey.
That's crazy.
Yeah, how is
Jeffrey.
Everything with you?
I love Brian.
I'm good. Hi, Gene. I'm good. I just got back from running some errands in the city. It was the first time I've been in Manhattan for close to 2 weeks now. So, we kind of created our own little hipster island here in Williamsburg in Brooklyn. There was no train service. There was no, all the transportation was shut down around us. So it kind of became a little hipster island. Basically, it's the exact opposite of what Leonardo DiCaprio did in The Beach, but Tilda Swinton probably would have killed herself anyway.
Well, our thoughts and prayers have certainly been with all of you that have been so badly beaten
by that
bitch, Sandy.
It's very, very appreciative. We were very lucky in the area I was in. There's a lot of areas around here who still don't have power or electricity or... Oh,
wow.
Is that a fire engine?
That's probably
I'm on set, sorry.
I was like, finally there's help. People are being helped in the hurricane area.
Oh my God,
he's in
FEMA
Chi-town.
Live. Live on Manic Mondays we hear FEMA.
He's in Chi-town. A lot happens in Chi-town. He's outside the set, in between takes, doing stunt maneuvers for the show that he is doing, Mob Doctors, right now.
Oh, lovely.
So
nice work.
He's probably somewhere outside freezing right now in the very cold temperatures of Chi-town.
Yeah, yeah. And, I muted you guys, so you guys wouldn't have to bear what I have to listen to over here. So.
Now, Jeffrey and Gene, do you guys stay in contact a lot?
Well, I talk to Jeffrey all the time.
Yes, we have a very thorough texting relationship. I'm looking forward, Gene, you're doing the Toys for Tots thing in a couple of weeks, right?
That is most definitely.
Delightful.
I'll be there too. Wow.
I'll be there. Tasha will be there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, delightful. Yes. So Gene's on my list of people I talk to from the show, most definitely.
Jeffrey's on my short list of people from the show that I talk to. So
yeah, my list is a little longer than Gene's, I think.
Now, I want to ask you each the same question. Is whoever wants to answer first, but what do you think about the editing? How would you because you know editing's big in all these different reality shows. What do you think about the editing of others and yourself?
Go first. You
need
to go first.
Yeah, it's funny, right? I know.
You know what I will say about the editing is that I didn't immediately watch the show after I got out of the house. I had no desire to kind of see. I was like, you know what, I need to break from this. I just lived it for 3 months before I find out everyone's perception and perspective of what they actually got to see. And I give major kudos to the person editing the show to make some things look the way that they look. The only real major disappointment that I had was that, and I know Jeffrey's going to hate this because Jeffrey's still friends. I'll say that someone with, by American standards, classic good looks, got probably the best edit I've seen of anyone in reality show history. So that is what I'll say because I felt that by the time the real person was shown, it was much, much too late for it to mean anything to anything. So that is what my comment would be as far as editing. For me, I think I was really quiet in my edit, so I went back and, you know, I will say, and I can actually say this is kind of funny. When I went back and looked at, sorry guys, it is windy out here. When I went back and looked, I was so quiet in the edit, and I was not that quiet in the house. But, that's the way stuff gets shot down. A lot of conversations kind of seemed a little skewed. The one thing that did bother me was I would always be in the edit. I would always get Venus playing both sides of the house from everyone else would say it. But then you'd never actually see me playing both sides of the house. But everyone else who was playing both sides of the house would never get – I mean, it would be shown in the edit, but just I would never bring it up. So I thought that was a little creative editing right there. But – whatever.
Very interesting. Yeah. Very interesting.
Jeffrey being one of those people that played both sides of the house. Love you, Jeffrey.
Oh. Now, what are your thoughts, Jeffrey, on like your edit and other people?
Well, you know, I think overall, I think it's rather fair. You know, you only have so much time. You know, you cannot boil 3 months of an experience down into 9.5 hours and to air on TV all summer. So that's difficult. And that's something one always has to consider is that it's true what you're seeing. It's just not always the whole story, which makes for good television sometimes, you know. So I'm not, irritated or hold any grudges for any sort of editing. And personally, as far as I'm concerned, I think they showed all 57 colors of my crazy personality, so they all.
Hello? I didn't lose you guys, did I?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear if somebody, if there was a thing, I'm sorry.
That's quite all right, we understand.
You know what, Randy. I actually ran the numbers one day, and it's actually between every live feed, every episode, everything that was actually shown, if you added everything up, it's less than 9% of what actually happened. And then, like, total of just what, if you take the audience that doesn't generally see, like, not the included secret, quote-unquote, secret stuff and whatever, it was, like, less than 1% of what was actually on the show. So.
Sure, totally.
Well, so what are your thoughts on the fact that I'm sorry. What are your thoughts on the fact that America is actually voting for you? Don't you feel like, you know, you're at that point is like iffy? You know what I mean?
Here's what I'll say about that. And this is a great segue because I actually like Big Brother. The thing I like about Big Brother is that you guys get a 24-hour live feed versus even with our live feed and our secret live feed or whatever, you're still getting an edited feed because you're only going to see the conversation that you're meant to see at that exact moment. Because if I'm talking to Jeffrey about something that doesn't look good for my storyline, then you're not going to see that at that moment. So it's still, you're not seeing, like, because every conversation that's happening, no matter how many people are in the house, whether it's 14 people or so 6 people there, if 2 people are talking, there's 4 other people doing something else at that moment. So
another thing that was different for the glass house was
out there. Oh, you're on the phone.
Go ahead, Paul.
Oh, another thing that was different in the glass house was the interaction with you. How did that influence or affect you when you were able to kind of communicate outside the program?
Paul, can you say the question over again? I couldn't hear it.
Your connection is really bad, Paul.
What is
it? I think the gist.
Do we have Jeffrey and Gene still on? And Paul?
Yes, we do.
I'm still here.
All right, good, good. What about Paul? Did we lose Paul?
I don't know what to say about my connection. I'm sorry.
I think, was the gist of his question, how did we feel about the feedback we were getting from inside the house?
I think that's what he said, yes.
The interaction on Twitter, et cetera.
I'll let Jeffrey feel this one first, since I talked first, and I talked for a long time last time.
Oh, that's okay. I'm sorry. I'm just having a good time listening. It's hard for me to hear, and so it makes me nervous to jump in and just start talking, but I am here. So,
I got you.
The feedback from Twitter. You know, I thought it was a very useful tool in the game. I thought it would, it helps, you know, not only give you what the America, what the viewers are thinking, and maybe you can, it gives you insight, so that way you can adjust sort of your relationships in the house. I know one big example for me, and it was a little early on in the game, it was after the Prop 8 business with Andrea, but not too far afterwards, where I got a question from Twitter, from the viewers, saying, why is it so hard for me to talk to Kevin and Mike? Which I thought was interesting because I, you know, aside from, you know, disagreeing with them protecting Andrea in that vote, I actually really liked and respected Mike most of the time, the whole summer. So I thought it was interesting that America had that perception. And so what I needed to do that gave me the clue to change that perception, and so that's when I decided to take the two of them aside and say, hey, let me just tell you guys specifically that moving forward, if there's something that we can mutually do that's mutually beneficial, I'd like to help you out. But I just wanted to let you guys know, moving forward, as far as the Prop 8 vote was concerned, you guys are, I'm done being mad at the two of you. So and that was something I did directly because of the viewers giving me the information that they thought. Their perception was that I had a hard time talking to them. So I needed to correct that.
Well, I think that's great that they're able to kind of guide you on what America's thinking or what's going on by certain questions you guys have to ask.
You know, I think it's a good thing. I think it was a great, it was kind of a great tool. And this is one of the areas I actually do give Kevin a lot of credit for, because Kevin definitely was the master of manipulation when it came to kind of skewing the way facts came about. Because I know for myself personally, and I don't hold Jeffrey's not one of the people I hold accountable for this, but I have my own things with Jeffrey, but this is not one of them.
I'm sorry, I'm with joy, gosh.
No. So one thing that I understood from the game was the feedback that we would get, to whether it was for our fancers, whether it was just kind of rewards and things coming into the house, I was always appreciative of what I got. And then I would always try to help out. Like, I ended up getting a lot of easy cake things. and I would always then try to help out with other people with their things. Me being appreciative, Kevin would turn that into me being cocky. And I never once, like, thought, like, whenever something would happen and it would be like, it was like, oh, when we had our date night and it was like, oh, I bet Gene's going on a date. You never once hear me say, like, yep, I guarantee I'm going on a date or whatever. Like, you hear Kevin say it, you hear Erica say it, like, you hear the whole, or you don't hear Erica. Yeah, you hear Erica say it, you hear the whole Motley crew, like, speaking for me, saying, yep, Gene thinks he's entitled to it. But you never hear me say that because I never said it. It was like little things like that that I could see actually change the audience perception to make it think, oh, Gene actually, like, thinks he deserves this stuff. And never, like, I was always, like, I would go back and I'd be like, oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Like, it's awesome, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't want to play the, and this is where I'm going to start throwing daggers, I didn't want to play the Erica card and try to play on the insecurities of every person in America for everything. That wasn't the game I wanted to play. I wanted to win as me. I wanted to lose as me. I didn't think I needed to exploit people for being overweight or for being picked on or for being, like, I didn't need to try to play on people's insecurities to try to, like, what am I say, to try to rally votes. And I felt that's what happened with Erica, and I felt that Kevin kind of understood that. And, I mean, as much as I hate the way it happened, I actually respect the way Kevin played Erica the entire game because I saw it unfolding. I saw it from, like, week two, I saw it, and I saw him opening that door of opportunity, and I saw her fall right into this great trap that he set. And I got to say, that has to be one of the best strategic moves in reality show history because he managed to play a girl. Like, at least, I'll put it like this. At least with me and Joy, there was actually something there. And it wasn't a one-time thing, and it wasn't just when we were drunk, like, whatever. They hooked up when they were drunk once, and from that, he made this girl fall in love with her and turn her back on everyone she made an alliance with to make sure that he won the game. I by far, hands down, best move I've ever seen in reality show history right there.
But you think it could have also backfired, though, because, you know, if America went on one way, they would have voted out. But me, personally, I didn't think he was doing anything too wrong because I'm like, she saw signs. He wasn't, like, really nice to her a lot and stuff like that. So
that's the edit you guys saw because there was two Kevins. There was a – and they tinted it in the finale. But there was a Kevin that would privately with Erica be like, what we have is real, once we leave here, blah, blah, blah. There was that Kevin. And then there was the, when he's not in the room with Erica and he's around Mike or he's around Andrea or he's talking to any of the rest of us, he's like, that girl's delusional. What's wrong with her? So they didn't focus on that early, so no one really saw it. Like, I totally understand why Erica got so emotionally attached to him because he was feeding her kind of that game. So Kevin was playing a game inside the game, and, I mean, inevitably that actually won him the game, I think.
Right. Later on in the show, though, they did show him talking about her, you know, being somewhat delusional, and it did show the side of him not caring, you know, about her in that way, and the fact that he was toying with her emotions, and we did get to see that part.
If we're going to be 100% real, by the time that was showed, that was after voting was already over.
Right.
So, I mean, it didn't matter at that point. It was kind of like, hey, just so you know, your knight in shining armor isn't as clean as you think he is.
Right.
But, but there's nothing you can do.
I hope my connection is okay, but I understand you didn't want to play on sympathy, but one of the real moments that I enjoyed was hearing you talk about your buddy Rice. That certainly was heartfelt.
You know what? That was a really rough kind of weekend for me. That was one of the things, and that's why I say Jeffrey is actually one of the people I am close to because I opened up to him first in the hot. Like, no one knew about it. No one knew what my hat meant. No one knew anything. And just kind of, I mean, Jeffrey and I were having a conversation one day. The conversation that we had, I kind of opened that up to Jeffrey, and Jeffrey didn't open his mouth about it. And that's kind of one of the things that made me say, hey, you know, I like this guy, I trust this guy. Because we were having one of those real, like, this isn't gameplay, this isn't trying to get you on my side. It's just we both were having a conversation, we had a real moment. And, I mean, kind of leading up to that point, it was, I mean, obviously you guys know we had the weekends off. So going into that weekend of isolation, I was kind of already kind of getting that gloomy feeling and then spending 2.5 days pretty much by yourself. And going right back into the house and trying to be all hunky-dory and chipper. And the first thing they say is, hey, guys, we're having a party. I was like, today is literally the 1 year anniversary of my best friend dying, and you want to have a party. It was a terrible day for me. I tried really hard to try to coast through that day, but I mean, and it was rough. It was rough. What you didn't see is before they had that question, they brought me in the back. I actually broke down right before we went back in the house, and I had to take about like 10 minutes just to myself before I could get myself together to even go back in the house. Because that was a rough day. It was a real rough day.
That has to be so hard. I've lost a best friend myself, and I can't imagine trying to be in that situation with cameras on you and trying to be in happy mode with party going on the one-year anniversary. That's rough. I commend you for how you handled yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Another favorite moment, and Sherry, you probably would agree because you're a dog lover, but when those golden retriever puppies came in with
my
your
God.
Oh my God.
Oh, I love the puppies.
The puppies were so cute.
What girl was it that
didn't want them to touch her?
That was Holly, who basically said to America, "Hey, America, I know you don't want me to be in this game anymore. And P.S., I hate puppies."
Holly.
Yeah, she lost me right then and there.
How can you hate puppies?
Who doesn't like puppies? That, you know, and that bothered me on so many levels. Like, we first of all, we never got really cool stuff in the house. Like, it was like, it'd be like, oh, mate, here's you have to make a costume out of a garbage bag and some tin foil, and then all of a sudden one day we get 10 puppies, it was like 10 puppies we got. And Holly just sat on the side and would not touch them. I think someone else even had to read her fancer for her because she didn't want to touch the puppies.
She didn't want them touching her.
What?
She literally didn't want them touching her at all.
How do you love puppies? I don't even get it.
I know.
Well, and what was funny leading up to that is that we spent a lot of time getting ready beforehand because the week before, I think it was, we had people from the Dutch Bros come up and for people who are for the sponsors, they were up for it. Oh my gosh, is everyone okay? Is there only one guy on the seat back or am I crazy?
We can barely hear you, Jeffrey.
Yeah, Jeffrey.
Oh, it's okay. I'm sorry. I'll be quiet. Is my phone bad?
No.
We can hear
you better
now.
We were just getting a lot of feedback.
Oh, okay. What I was saying is that what was funny leading up to the puppies is that we spent a lot of time getting ready, and so Holly had just finished getting ready for like 2 hours, and so when she came out and got puppies jumping on her, it really highlighted just sort of how princessy she is, you know, and she's a nice girl. She's young, you know. I don't, you know, fault her for any reason. I just think she has some growing to do. But it was funny. It just kind of highlighted the materialism of the character that was Holly, who is, P.S., just a quick plug for Holly. She is currently running to be Miss Arizona. I don't know, she has a link out on the internet somewhere where she's raising money so that she can earn dollars to do the stuff that one needs to be in the pageant. Conversely, though, I'd like to mention that if anyone has extra money, and I have a charity that I'm working with for cancer and also for homeless kids in New York City. That's a funny example of like kind of where Holly's priorities lie, and I think the root of that is the puppies. she wants to help herself be Miss Arizona, but some people are worried about, you know, cancer and homeless people, and so Holly's a funny character. That Holly.
Hey, speaking of the editing, did we see a real edit in the reaction of you guys when Alex popped back in?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Prime Time 99. What's your thoughts on him?
The reaction to all of us when he came up those tubes was all totally genuine. We weren't sure if he was coming back, if he had been voted back, if he was just giving us surf answers or what. We weren't sure, you know. And so that was a purely genuine reaction, as with everything on the show, I think. But what's funny is I've hung out with Alex 3 or 4 times now since the show, and he's very remorseful. You know, he feels really bad about how he interpreted what a villain is on TV. And admittedly, he admits that he doesn't watch a lot of reality TV, and so he didn't really get what a reality TV villain does. So he feels bad, and he feels real bad.
You know, I had that conversation with him as well. I had that conversation with him when he was in the house. And I said, I'm like, dude, you got to space it out some. You can't go for the kill on day 2. Like, and he went from just being a reality show villain to a jerk in 16 hours. And that's just not what they wanted to see.
Yeah,
I mean, he was just crazy. Did he get the exact edit that he was doing or what? Well, was he more intense than that, or was he more villainous? Like,
I would say that he got a very light edit compared to what he was actually doing in the house.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
You're not up there. Yeah, you're not up there.
That's
I'm not surprised.
That's scary. Oh, if he got a light edit and we only saw a little bit of what he was really doing in the house, that's scary.
Now don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I will say, for the record, I've hung out with Alex since the show, and I can tolerate Alex for 15 minutes at a time. So,
I have hung out with Alex, and he is a very interesting character. So, he's a funny person. He's a funny person.
He's kind of how he was on the show in real life, but, I mean, obviously everything's kind of enhanced when you're on a show like that, but, Alex is... I can stand Alex when he's Alex, but when he turns on Primetime 99, that's usually when I
He was over at my house. He was over at my house here in Brooklyn a few weeks ago. He happened to be passing through New York, so he came over, and it was a last minute thing, so I didn't know he was coming, and I had already set up a viewing party with a bunch of my friends because that's when the debates were still going on. So it was kind of like a very quiet, sort of very focused crowd that was watching the Mitt Romney and Obama debate. And Alex came through and literally, I mean, I love the guy, but he does not shut up. And so, so I had to take him upstairs to my neighbor's house to just like hang out with them and talk and like hang out. Because he ended up bothering some of my friends so much. They were like, really? That guy's here in your house all of a sudden? I'm trying to warn them.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, prime time. You know what? But, you know, Alex is probably the, let me make sure I say this right. 1, 2, 3, 4. Alex is definitely in the top 5 most popular people post the show. Definitely.
Wow.
So, I mean. Good or bad, he's got a, you know, Alex has a really strong following of very, very stupid women. So, so you know, I can't fault him for that, because as much as I want to hate Alex, and you know, I came out of the house and you know, emotion was hot for me when I got out of the house. I was like, I hate Alex. I don't want to hear anything from this guy. And he had already reached out to Joy and talked to her, and he had actually said, hey, Joy, can you try to smooth things over with Gene with me? I actually want to, like, talk. And Joy called me and was like, hey, Alex wants to talk to you, blah, blah, blah. And he was super apologetic and very just not the way he was on TV. So I was like, oh, I'll give this guy a chance. And then, obviously we hung out in Vegas, and then that's when I realized, oh, I can fan him for about 15 minutes, and then I need a break. That's when I tag Jeffrey in, and then I just laugh at Jeffrey getting all his stuff locked in Alex's room.
So I have a question for you guys. Now, did you guys have a finale where you guys all got together at the end of the show? Like, because when they did the finale, there wasn't that many people that were on it. Like, what? There were so many people missing. What happened?
Well, I don't really know. I mean, from our standpoint, we don't ever know anything. You know, obviously, we don't get clued into the production side of things. We just show up and look pretty. But there was only the five. The final five were the only five at the finale. It was me and Mike were in the audience, and then you know the three finalists obviously were there. No, there's been a couple of people who have reached out to me, and I know Mike in Boston and maybe even Eugene, I don't know, but that there are people who are trying to see about doing some sort of reunion, but I'm doubtful that everyone would do it, to be perfectly honest. But I do like, just as a reality TV fan, I do enjoy it when a show I'm watching has a reunion of some sort. The shelf life of our first time show is probably gone by now, where that would actually be something people would watch.
Okay. What about you, Gene?
Jeffrey gave such a good answer. I don't even know where to go.
I know.
You know, I think that a reunion would be a great thing. We didn't have one. I think a better idea is probably showing where the people that still talk to each other from the house are right now. And to get like kind of the real relationships that are real friendships that are from that. I think I know Jeffrey is as well, and I know I'm friends with Kevin on Facebook, and Kevin's not really in trying to be involved with anything post show aside from trying to be relevant on Twitter with his boyfriend. But I mean, other than that, I think everyone else is kind of just doing their thing, you know. I honestly, at this point, I love Jeffrey. I love Stephanie. Love Joy. Hang out with Apollo when I can. Apollo's doing awesome stuff, and he's got a lot of like bright things in his future.
Apollo, he's very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Apollo's a super good guy. Alex, I wish him all the best. And outside of that kind of little circle of people, I don't really talk to that many other people from the show. I think I talked to Ashley once post the show. Holly texted me a couple times, and we kind of text back and forth a couple times, and I don't know if anyone has ever heard from Jacob again, and who else? Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are the only people that have been standing out in my head right now. Jeffrey, who else was on our show?
You forgot, you know, Robin and Andrea. I think that might be it. Those are the other two that I don't think you mentioned.
You know, I will honestly say I have no problem with Crazy Aunt Robin. I thought Robin was
very
sweet.
Yeah, I was
asking
you guys about Robin. Is she that crazy, or she seems very laid back and cool? You know.
I thought she was very a very manipulative, like, well, what's past the cougar? Is that like a mountain lion? What would that be like? She was,
well, there's puma, cougar, and then there's I don't know, mountain lion.
I don't know. She's some kind of older cat, but yeah, I mean, I never had a problem with her. She was a good girl. And the thing was, Robin and Jeffrey kind of had like these weird similarities that like I picked up on, which I think everyone knew certain things about certain people. Like certain things I would say just because I'm like, oh, let me see who's going to run and go tell somebody what I just said. Like certain things I'd tell Jeffrey, just because I knew if I told Jeffrey, he was going to go back to the other side of the house, and I was okay with that because it'd be like something I wanted to get over there. Robin was kind of the same way. Like Robin would blatantly say something, and then it'd be like, that's 100% not true, and everyone knows it's not true, but she would say it anyway. So, but you understood that about Robin, so you didn't take her that seriously.
Yeah. What about you, Jeffrey? What's your thoughts on this, Robin?
Robin, you know, the thing is I technically like Robin, although she might not believe me. You know, she's an intense person, you know. And when you have somebody who is such an energy vampire, it's hard to, not show how frustrating it can be. And she's kind of like that for me, you know. She's a nice lady, but I'm sure I'll never talk to her again. I think she's kind of put this experience behind her and move forward, which is fine.
Well, just let you guys know that we, you know, we're a Big Brother, you know, number one, probably, we talk about on the show, but when Glass House was coming on, we actually, when the cast was revealed, we went through every person, even you, Gene, and you, Jeffrey, and We played your casting video that you had that they aired, and we played Robin, and everybody was like, "Oh my God, shut it off! We didn't want to hear past 1 minute." We all decided that we were like, "There's no way that she's gonna last long. There's no way." It was funny, Terry. Do you remember that?
I do.
You know, I'll let you guys in on a secret. Going into the house, and which is it was probably to my disadvantage to do this. I actually didn't look at anyone's video going into the house. So I honestly had no idea. I mean, obviously I saw everyone like throughout the casting process, but I didn't watch anyone's video. So I didn't know who anybody was. So when I met everyone, I met them for the first time in the house.
So wait, they actually let you guys know the cast before?
Well, you know, before we got there, like I guess it was released on the internet. So some people
they didn't have you guys in sequester before they did it.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
okay. Interesting.
Hey, something similar to Glass House that happened in Big Brother this season was we were introduced to somebody that ended up not being on the show, and you had, I think, Holly was a last-minute replacement. Do you know anything about the original person that was going to be on? I forgot her name already.
You know, I've only heard rumor of the other person. I never knew any different. It was kind of a story that got talked about a couple of times in the house, but no one really kind of got into any detail about it. Apparently, there was a different girl who apparently was also from Chicago, and I don't know, something happened, and she couldn't do it, and Holly got pulled, and Holly got her spot again. That's about as much as I know about it.
Oh, okay. Now, I got a question for you guys. What was your take on the whole thing with the Big Brother, you know, the court case and all that, the lawsuit and all that? Were you guys aware of it? Did they keep you, you know, basically letting you guys know what was going on? Because it was basically saying you guys weren't going to air.
Well, you know, being a fan of reality TV, I just, you know, I think me and Mike both are big fans, so I think we filled in that spot of the super fans of just the genre. And so I was aware of the lawsuit going into it. We of course were not updated as to what was going on with it while we were playing the game, though. But I was aware of the lawsuit going into the experience.
So they didn't tell you guys anything? Like they weren't, well, you guys kind of knew what was going on anyway because you weren't sequestered right away. So you saw what was going on, right?
You know, Casa, if I'm going to be 100% honest, this is what I will say. I will say that I knew about it and I was not the least bit concerned.
Well, we also didn't think that, you know, it wasn't going to happen. We knew something, it was going to be a show. We thought that Big Brother, what they were doing was actually building a bigger spotlight on you guys, which was actually helping you out instead of like what they thought was going to hurt you guys. And so I was just like, I wanted to see what was the big deal, you know, and I'm sure everybody else did. And I personally liked the America side of it, how they picked everything and got through, but also in the same aspect of Big Brother, how true is America's vote? Like, is there somebody behind America's vote? You know what I mean? Did you guys ever think that?
I know exactly what you mean, and all I'm going to say is the shows are not similar at all, and they are similar at the same time. That's
all I'm going to say. So true. Now, this is a question for both of you guys. Are you guys Big Brother fans? We have to ask you.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? I'll take this one first because I know what James answer is. I am a super fan of all kinds of reality shows, and it happens to be that Big Brother is indeed one of my all-time favorites. And what's funny is that, and I have ridiculous reality show knowledge. You know, like I can name all the seasons of The Real World in order. Like I'm a rain man when it comes to reality TV. It's stupid. But what's funny is after the show, I had a lot of people who said to me, like just in person and on message boards and stuff, they were like, "Oh, you really should have auditioned for Big Brother because I really loved your gameplay. I would have liked to have seen you play that game." And my answer to that always is what has it been now, 14 seasons of Big Brother? I think I've auditioned for 11 or 12 of them. And I've
have
never
you?
Gotten,
really?
Yep, and I've never gotten past one thing at all. So when this experience came up, it just kind of started working out. I was like, oh, yes, of course I'll take this. Sorry, Big Brother, you guys had your chance. But I do love you guys, and I was able to catch up on this season after the show. I was able to watch most of the whole season of Big Brother. I started after the Hans brother was eliminated, so I didn't get to whatever happened.
Well,
after
he was actually thrown out, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. So I don't know how it all got set up and all the beginning of it, but I did watch the end game, and I loved the winner. The first night I watched the show, I called him as the winner, so I was very happy about that. And pretty soon, I think I'm going to be meeting with Will from this summer, too, about a fun little project. So I'm anxious to get to know him. Yeah, no, he looked awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing. And speaking of the Hans brothers, just a little plug here before everybody goes anywhere. We are having an amazing show tomorrow night, a very special event. We're having all of the Hans brothers,
wow,
uncles, nephews, whatever you might call them, all the Hans people, the boys of the family, are all coming on the show for a Hans reunion tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, Hans Family Reunion here on the Rad Reality Show Network. So if you're a Hans team lover and you follow the Hanses, make sure you're here for this event. It's going to be a big one, and we want to invite everyone to join us for this Hans Family Reunion tomorrow night. So if you're Team Hans, join us.
Well, all I'm going to say is, if I want to smoke my cigarette, I'm going to smoke my cigarette. If I want to go eat my salmon, I'm going to go eat my salmon.
I'm going to eat my Cheerios.
I'm going to eat my salmon. You eat your Cheerios.
No, Gene, what's your BV background? I want to know, are you a BV fan or what?
You know what? I to be completely honest, I'm nowhere near the fanboy that Jeffrey is. Like, I think Jeffrey has watched every reality show from the inception of reality television. Me, I was very seasonal. My reality show would depend on what I was doing in my life. And unfortunately, I feel like everyone who I love now, who's just an awesome person in real life, during their season of Big Brother, I was probably doing something else. Like, I know, like, Costa, during your season, I was going through a real rough breakup, so I know I wasn't watching a lot of TV then. Since then, obviously, I've gone back and I've tried to watch kind of the people I care about watch their things, just because I'm like, oh, it's my friend. I want to see like how they did on the show. But you know, that's a long game to play catch up on. So I'm getting episodes in here and there, trying to get the highlights of what was happening. But you know, I have now turned into post our show. I'm not gonna take it. Go ahead. Yeah, thanks. Post our show, though, I have become, I'm not going to say I'm Jeffrey yet, but I'm definitely becoming a fanboy. I've definitely been catching every episode of, when I got out of the house, I watched the rest of you guys' season. I watched Survivor now. I mean, everything, TAR, I'm on everything now. I got a taste of it now, I'm hooked, so. From our perspective, it opens your eyes and gives you a totally new perspective of it. So I think it's even more interesting for me to get super into it now, because then in my head I got a million questions of like, what's really happening right now? What's going on? What is that person actually thinking? Oh, when I was there, I know what I was thinking in this situation. So, I think it's actually way cooler now. Granted, reality TV is already cool, but I think it's to be in this position is even cooler to kind of fall in love with it all over again.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, like, you're actually meeting the people before and then you're watching them, so you get, like, a different aspect of maybe somebody that doesn't know what this person's like, and you can totally think of what they're doing and saying in a different light, you know?
Yeah.
And
funny thing about that, I met somebody recently who we met under weird circumstance, whatever, we're hanging out, and she was a reality show person who I had no idea who she was. we were hanging out, having a good time, and then I was like, oh, that's cool. Someone explained to me that she was somebody. I'm like, all right, that's cool. And then we were hanging out one day, and then somebody came up to me and was like, oh, hey, Jean Bolo. And she was like, wait, what? You're on a show? Because I never brought it up to her. And so the two of us had been hanging out, and kind of neither one of us really knew what each other was on. So, but it was cool because I got to know her as a person, and I was like, oh, you're actually pretty cool to hang out with. And then later on, I went back and was like, oh, I'm so glad I didn't watch your show first because I may not have liked you.
Oh, wow. For real?
Yo, that's how it is, yo. Like, I keep it real, yo.
Oh, my gosh. Now, Jeffrey said that he tried out for Big Brother. Is there anything that, any other show, Jeffrey, that you tried out for besides Big Brother?
Oh, yeah, I had auditioned for some here and there throughout the years. You know, I when I was much younger, much, much younger, the Real World was one that I had always been interested in doing. So I always had fun, like, filling out those applications and sending them in, you know, because I'm a psychopath. So, I had applied for stuff here and there, and this one just worked. It worked out. It was a good fit. I had a great time. It was a great adventure. And even though I didn't win the prize, I loved the whole experience. So, and I have no regrets on it. So it was a delightful, delightful time.
Oh, good.
You won Best Friend's House, though, so it's okay.
That's true. That is true. Thank you. Yes, no, I definitely, as far as the friends go out of there, I'm probably one of the ones who, I'm probably one of the ones who talk to the most people.
Jeffrey, I'm probably sure you are the one that talks to the most people. I don't think we need to take a vote on that one. That was pretty much a lock bet.
Now, do you guys think that there's going to be a Glass House show?
Let me go first.
I think a lot of people wonder about that.
I would really like. I think it's a great concept. I think now that everyone sees it's so totally different from Big Brother. I think if the show, and I love Big Brother. I love Glass House. Obviously, I was on it. I think if Glass House had the financial budget that Big Brother had, I think Glass House could be an amazing show. I mean, it is a great show, but I think it could be an amazing show. It could have a nice long run. I like – there's great aspects of the game. I just think that a little bit more needs to be invested in the actual game itself. But other than that, I mean, I think it's a great concept. I think it was refreshing for a lot of people. I don't think it was trying to split an audience. I think the people that love Big Brother are still going to love Big Brother because there's a lot of people that love Big Brother and loved our show too. So I think there's room. There's definitely room for our show amongst the reality shows out there. I would love to see there be a second season. I would love to be a coach for the second season because that is what I would love to do. But I definitely think that there's some elements to the show that are definitely untapped right now that. If they played it up a little more, I think it could be a lot better. I do think, though, I agree with something Jeffrey said earlier. You can't take that many days of footage and just condense it into the few hours that the viewers got to see. Because that was one issue I did have with the editing is that, and just talking to a lot of people and a lot of the fans have kind of talked to me afterwards and people that tried to watch all the live feeds and whatever, their issue was that during the actual episode, it would go from two people yelling to someone comes back from limbo, to doing a challenge, to, like, everything just kind of jumped around really fast. And it was like you condensed the entire week into 42 minutes, and a lot gets lost in that period of time. So whether they need to make it so it has an extra night a week, an extra two nights a week, or if the live feeds are just more often so that it's actually running a longer live feed to give kind of the audience a better look into the house, I think that could do nothing but help the show. As far as the show itself, I think the show is a great show. I think they did an excellent job casting, despite the different personalities in the show. I honestly think we had one of the most intelligent casts in reality show history. Despite how people may have played and may have tried to dumb down for television, we had some incredibly brilliant people in that cast. Good or bad, even people that I don't like, I give them credit and say that they were incredibly, incredibly smart. So, I mean, I think every aspect of the show was great. It's just a matter of investing the amount of time, the amount of energy, and the amount of finance that you need to invest in a project like that to really get its wings and get it off the ground the way it should be. But I'm hoping. I got my fingers crossed on a season two.
Well, we need to see what happens. And, Gene, I just want to let you know that in the chat room, Joanne Heaney says, "We love you, Gene." So you got some fans right now.
I love you too, Joanne.
Would you like to take a call from a listener?
I recognize that name. I think that's Joanne who might be going to Toys for Tots.
Yes, it is.
Toys for Tots thing, yeah.
She's a photographer.
Yes, okay. We're going to have a lot of fun.
I'm totally going to tweet Joanne when I get off.
Great.
Ooh.
Can we take a call from a fan?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do this. Mr. Chi-Town Joe, thank you for calling in tonight.
How you doing, everybody?
Hey, Joe.
What's up, Joe?
Hi, Michelle. Hey, Gene, how you doing? How you doing down in downtown where it's nice and cold?
Yeah. It's a nice, I think it's like 32 degrees right now. Fortunately,
yeah,
since I've been on this call, I actually got wrapped for the day, so I'm actually good right now. I'm sitting in
that's cool.
Hotel. I'm sitting in the hotel lobby in the warm, so I'm good.
Well, you and Jeffrey are Facebook friends of mine, and as you can tell, I'm from your city. But I wanted to ask you something, Gene, in particular, because you being a stuntman and you, Mr. Shell, could help you with this. They're doing the first Tough Mudder here in Chicagoland next year. And I'm trying to get everybody together, like reality stars, to do it. Like Howie and Eugene would be perfect. And I asked Cowboy, but he won't do it.
Well, do you, Jeffrey or Gene, have you guys ever heard of Tough Mudder or know what it's about?
I have never heard of Tough Mudder. Actually, I have a good friend of mine does Tough Mudder. I think it's every other month or every 3 months here. And he does it every time. And I see a picture on Facebook, and I think to myself, I love the idea of it, but if I did it, I'd probably die.
Well, I have done it three times, just to let you know.
Then he lets on. Jeffrey's a tough SOB, and he does not let that on before. But he tries to play the I'm weak and I have little hands kind of card. But Jeffrey is a beast. Like if you see Jeffrey, the heart and will and determination of this guy, like there were times where I literally like looked at Jeffrey and he was an inspiration because I'm like, Jeffrey has heart above all, and no matter what, like heart can beat like physical stamina, can beat whatever, because Jeffrey will push through. Jeffrey will all go no quit. He won't quit on you. And I mean, that's one of the things I loved about that guy, because that was something I could depend on Jeffrey for. Jeffrey was going to give you 100% unless it was involving a challenge where there's a spinning wheel. But I mean, aside from that, he's going to give you 100%.
Aww, that's so sweet.
That's really nice, Jane. Thank you.
Yeah, it's in May, so if you want to think about it, it's May 18th and 19th here.
Give me the details. I'll take a look at it.
Yeah, I'll write you a private message on your Facebook.
Well, just to give you an idea, Gene.
All the pictures from it. I will like all the pictures on it when you guys post it on Facebook. I'll like them all.
I just tell you, you got to run through fire. You got to run through barbed wire. You're going to get electrocuted. It's intense, and it's the best thing you ever did in your life.
Well, the G's always running on fire.
I'm like, yeah, I'm like, that fire's not new to me. So.
Yeah, I noticed.
It sounds like it's right up your alley, Gene.
Hey, this is off topic, but since I got Jeffrey here, I'm gonna do Captain Call Out right now. I have a personal issue with the fact, and Jeffrey, I know you're probably gonna find this funny because I know you saw the same thing I saw. During the show, Gene threw the challenge might have as well as been a catchphrase for like the entire show. And when I went back in to watch the episode, I was like, man, I really want to see if it looked like in the episode where Mike went home the first time, if I threw the challenge. And clearly, two things happened. One, you clearly see that Mike is an old man who can't see and is dyslexic. But then two, you see Jeffrey put forth absolutely no effort whatsoever. Now, keep in mind, Mike was on a perch, and Mike could actually see Jeffrey not putting forth effort at all. But he decided instead to blame me. And, you know, it wasn't until I went back and looked at the episode that I was like, okay, Mike is actually the new crazy Aunt Robin, because when I watched the episode, it was clear as day to me, like, oh, no, Mike, like, you're just messing up terribly. Like, but I did enjoy watching Jeffrey kind of coast around on that giant disc with his hands on his side.
Well, I thought he did such a good job. Like, he was like the underdog who came on top. I loved it.
True.
I loved it, Jeffrey. You killed it.
I believe
him. Like, you know, I know the day after the filming and everything, I told you that I didn't believe you. But, you know, hey, if I believe what you say, you know, I don't care anymore. You know, if you threw this challenge or didn't, I'm not accusing you anymore, I swear. But you say you didn't, you didn't. That's
for
all
the,
I need to know.
For the record, for the last time, I did not throw a single challenge in the entire time in the glass house, including Mike, who I could have honestly cared less if he went home or not. Like, I didn't throw that challenge. Like, he just made bad calls in not remembering what I was telling him and just making bad calls and calling things that weren't the actual answer. But I'm not gonna shoulder any of that burden, because I told him everything correctly. I didn't misspeak any time. That was just all him, and he's just looking for a scapegoat. So what's the best thing? Blame the black guy. So, yep, I told him to play the race card. How's that for ratings?
Well, speaking of Mike, I actually, this past weekend, I was up in Boston, and I went up to Stephanie's house for a game night, and Mike had reached out to her, and, like, they, you know, they made nicey nice, obviously, after the show, and so the three of us were able to hang out, and, like, we went and got some brunch the next day, and I gotta tell you, that Mike, you know, he sure is a character. He's a good guy, and I like Mike, and sure, can he be a little bit of a curmudgeon, and can he be a little bit blind on the playing field? Sure, but he's a good guy, and I like him.
So wait, you were right down the street from me, Jeffrey?
Well, you're in Providence, right?
Yeah, but I'm on the Massachusetts border.
Oh, I didn't know that. No, we just drove. We drove out there. We drove right back. We're in and out.
Oh,
that's
okay. I get to see you guys in a couple weeks anyway.
I know. I'm excited about that. You know, I already have my toys picked out that I'm bringing. Cowboy, you know, had asked me a little while ago to see about trying to drive up some toys. So I have some toys to donate. It looks like a good time, and I'm really excited. I don't even think I've ever been to New Hampshire before.
I'm excited to go
to New Hampshire. It'll be a fun trip and for a good cause, and I'm very excited.
I love it. It's one of the most awesome events ever.
I'm super excited about that. It's going to be great.
I've got a question for you, Gene and Jeffrey. As time went on in the house, did you look forward to, or did you not look forward to your weekends away?
Personally, here's how I feel about the weekends. I think the weekend off thing was stupid. The reason I think it was stupid isn't even from a production standpoint. It's from a mental standpoint. Like, don't get me wrong, I enjoyed a break. And after dealing with people for 5 days, like, sometimes you need a break. You need to be on your own, like, whatever. The amount of time that we had a break, I think, was excessive. Because I think by the time, well, I know for a fact, by the time it would be time to go back in the house, we were all, like, just itching to go. Like, get me back in. Let me talk to people. Let me hang out with everybody. Because it was just awkward. It was whether me and Jeffrey are having a heart-to-heart or whether you're getting in a fight with someone at a certain time, it was just kind of like, and you're done. You're going to have to hold that until Monday night. And so
yeah,
when you let something fester for 3 days, like if you have an unresolved issue and it just sits for 3 days, one of two things happens. Either it becomes a bigger issue because now you've gotten into your own head and you're like, It's become way bigger than what it should have been because you didn't get to ask, like, is this what the person meant or whatever? Or you just become very dismissive about the entire thing. And you're just like, you know what, forget it. I don't care. And you end up turning on someone that something could have totally been a misunderstanding, but because you've had 2 days in your own head to think about what was going on, you've now made into an issue.
Yeah. That's
Joe,
thing.
We
like,
have
I
another caller,
that...
so I wanted to let you say goodbye real quick, and then we're going to bring up another caller, somebody that is from Big Brother.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Well, nice to talk to both of you, and of course, Michelle, as always.
Bye, Joe.
Hey,
Joe. Great,
I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye, Joe.
Bye, Joe.
Take care, Joe. And we do have a caller that is a Big Brother alumni.
Ooh,
I'm going to bring up on the air now.
If I had to guess, I would guess it was my brother from another
who would you
mother.
Guess?
I would guess it was my brother from another mother.
Mr. Lo Wonderful, thank you so much for calling in tonight.
What's up, my Gene? What's
yes.
happening?
Yes, I love this man. I love this man. My two favorite happy men are on the phone right now.
Who is it?
It's
LaJuan.
Hey,
LaJuan.
You're my love.
LaJuan.
Oh, Luan, how are you, my friend? We got to hang out soon, bro.
I know. I'm good. I'm feeling kind of under the weather today. So,
aww.
But other than that, I'm good.
Hi, Luan. I love you, boo boo.
Hi, my love. Oh, don't give me the crying, my boo boo.
Oh, man.
Oh.
We wish you were coming to Twice for Tots, Luan.
I know.
We're all
going to
be there.
I know. And I have never been to Twice for Tots yet. So, yeah, I know.
We'll change
that. We'll just have to bring Christmas spirit, and just, you know, we'll just pretend Luan is there, because one thing I think about, when I think about getting into the spirit for anything, I think of Luan. I tell you, I love your Twitter. Every morning, is the first thing I do is I go through my morning Twitters in bed before I get up while I'm waking up, and there's like two or three tweets from Luan saying, "Make today awesome, be a sexy pants, you're a great person." I love you. And we'll see you in April, though, for sure, when we come out to California.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Luan is always so inspirational. He always makes you smile on Twitter. You never have to wonder. When you see Luan, you always know it's going to be something to make you smile.
Yes. He's going to smile.
Thank you.
Luan is my personal, like, checker. Whenever I'm about to go ham on somebody on Twitter, like, it's like right then Luan sends me a message. I'm like, oh, nah, I got to pull in the reins. I'm like,
oh, yeah. You know, I'm going to check you real quick. You know, I'm going to check you. You know I will. I'll keep you in your place, brother. You know that.
I'm like, yeah. I'm like right before I get to that point, then Luan will hit me up. He's like, hey, brother. I'm like, darn you, Luan. I was about to get
He brings
there.
You back. He brings you back to that happy place.
But I was real close to getting there.
So what's going on, Luan? What's going on with you? How are you doing over there in the West, too?
I'm doing good, honey. I'm doing good. I am actually just busy with. I'm going back to school next semester for my last year to get my master's. So I've been trying to really get that really together here because, I'm going to get my master's at USC. So
nice.
Really,
you're pretty busy.
Well, yeah, because I mean, like, it's my last year, and I really want to go gung ho. And so I'm just going to really go balls to the wall. Can I say that? Balls to the wall.
He means that both figuratively and literally.
Whoa!
Now, Mr. Luan, were you a Glass House fan? Did you watch Glass House?
Yes, I was a Glass House fan. At first, I have to admit, I wasn't. And then it's... You know, certain characters, like, I have to admit, before I even met Jeffrey and Gene in person, I would watch it because of them. And then when I really got to hang out with them and meet them, it was just like love, family, love at first sight. I mean, these two right here are the real deal. They are so genuine and just good people. I have to say that. They
this is why I love
they
them
are good people.
Right there.
Oh,
it was close between, I think, I'm trying to remember if I met Michelle, I may have edged, actually, you know what, Luan did edge you out. I met Luan before I met you.
Ooh.
Right.
He goes, right.
Right.
I mean, no, you did, I mean, you did, yeah, I mean, you did meet me. I talked about you before I even met you, so. Yeah.
Right. But yeah, I love this guy. He welcomed me with open arms. He was just like so nice and kind, and it was great. And like instant connection, we definitely hit it off. Like, and you can tell he's gonna be one of those people that like I'm friends with for the rest of my life. Because I mean, he's a great positive spirit and a great guy, and a lovely person to eat breakfast with.
In the wee hours of the morning.
I'm telling you right now, I'm never gonna forget that brunch that the three of us went to where in Vegas. I forget that the Wicked Spoon at the Metropolitan Hotel is probably the best.
Wait, Jeffrey, how could you forget about the
everything I've ever had, and I could not have thought of two better people to enjoy it with. It was so good, and that's not even I went to Vegas, is that meal right there.
Jeffrey, how did you forget about the sing off?
Okay, Jeffrey, come on now.
Do you guys remember in the restaurant? Hello, Luan, do you want to take this away?
Jeffrey. Yeah, for me and Jeffrey, I don't know what happened. I was going to look out in a Whitney Houston song. We looked out in, what song was that?
I don't even know, but we were inside a restaurant. It was you, it was all of us, and it was Anissa and Luis Trovato, Anissa from Real World.
Whitney Houston sing off, yes.
We were in this just like random restaurant that just wanted to like eat, and all of a sudden there was just a sing off, and everybody in the restaurant was like clapping and they were like dancing, and there was a couple of tables that were like angry, and it was hilarious. I can't even remember the song. Do you remember the song that
I want to say it was definitely Whitney Houston. I want to say, I forget what it was. But it was great, great fun.
And somebody
has
it
really
on video.
Bad connection, or we're having feedback on somebody again, really bad.
Yeah, you know what? I'm actually, it might be me. So what I'm going to do is, while I hate to go, my roommate just got home, and so we're about to have some people come over, because we're going to be watching RuPaul's Drag Race tonight. Let me say goodbye to you guys. It's lovely chatting with you, Michelle and Jean. I can't wait to see you at Toys for Tots. Don't be a stranger. I love you. I'm coming to get you.
I love you
more.
You
too.
Okay.
Jeffrey, it's always a pleasure to hear from
you.
Thank you so much for calling in.
See ya.
Bye, Jeffrey.
Bye, Jeffrey.
Now that he's out here, let me tell you what I really feel. No, I'm
just kidding. It's so crazy.
Oh, goodness. Tyler, sing it, girlfriend. Sing it.
Now I'm going to tell you the real dirt. Because I'm not friends with everybody from the show.
All right, well, spill it. What do you got to say, Jeffrey? The floor is yours. Anything to say?
No, I'm joking. I got nothing to say. I have nothing to say about anyone who isn't relevant enough to have any followers on Twitter. So I have nothing to say.
Wow.
I have nothing to say about anybody who Zingbot doesn't know their name. So, yeah, I have nothing.
Zing, 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 zing. Well, Jean, I want to ask you something. What are you doing now, and do you think that, well, we know that you're doing some work, but I know you're doing more. And do you think that there was any bigger doors that have opened for you with the Glass House?
You know what? I think it's given me a great opportunity to get more involved in some charity work. And I mean, because that's what I would do anyway with my kind of like my free time. So now it's just kind of giving me a bigger platform, and it lets me use my. And I use this very, very loosely because I don't think highly of myself at all. But it lets me use my popularity for a big cause now. So, and I think that's awesome. Like, I love getting invited to go to events, and I love volunteering. I love, like, all these great causes. And it really just kind of makes my time kind of worthwhile now. Because that, to me, it's more important to it's more important about giving back than it is actually what you get out of it. So this opportunity is just giving me an opportunity really to just give back, and I'm just so grateful for it because it's an amazing ride, and I know, I mean, things are just really starting right now, but I can't even put into words how amazing it is just to know that, like, I can be that influential to that many people and draw attention to, like, subjects and causes that are super important right now. And that people are actually listening to my just like humble voice of being like, hey, this is a great idea. You should help out with this. And I actually have been given a platform now to be able to do that. And I think that's amazing. It's an opportunity that I think some people that do what we do have taken for granted. I think that it's definitely it's about giving back. And it's about more than just getting invited to parties and going and doing things. It's about what you're doing to better society as a whole. And I think that you need to, A, remember who we are, and then also remember the reason why we are who we are. Like, without the fans, without the viewers, without the people that surround us, that support us, none of us would be where any of us are right now. And I think it's important that we give back every opportunity that we have to turn around and say, hey, thank you. Like, hey, I support you. Hey, like, you're not in this alone. Like, I understand. I'm with you. And I just think it's about taking those opportunities. And those opportunities are what's really important at the end of the day.
I 100% agree with you.
Absolutely.
I have two questions for you, if I can get them in real quick. One, do you still do any wrestling? And two,
good question.
There is a notation on one of the articles that I read about you that makes mention of a story about you and breaking up a backboard or something, and it talks about it leaving you with a very memorable story. I wondered if you might be able to share that with us.
Yeah. Wait, what was the first question again? I'll do it.
If you are doing any more wrestling.
Oh, you know what? Honestly, wrestling was not my thing. However, my best friend Rice, who died, that's actually that was his wrestling name. So the kind of match that kind of is on YouTube that everyone saw, that match was actually at a church function, but I did it kind of as a tribute to him because. That was his thing, and he was actually, and he was like, hey man, you need to train and be my tag team partner, and my heart's never been in that. So then kind of afterwards, it was kind of like a paying homage to him kind of thing. Don't get me wrong, I love it. I love entertaining in general. So to do that is super fun, and obviously to see a guy my size like jumping off a top rope is always entertaining for a crowd. So I have super super fun with that. Like, don't get me wrong, I would love to go do like a appearance. Like, I mean, look what happened with The Miz, you know? I would love to go to WWE and spend some time with those guys and like really get a good match going on. I think that'd be super cool. With the backward thing, you know.
What is this towering? It actually says a towering dunk that shocked the crowd and shattered a backboard, gifting him with a few scars and a story.
So, I mean, obviously everyone remembers when Shaquille O'Neal broke the backboard. When I was in my prime, I was only, like, right now I'm like three, let's see, post show, like by the end of the show I was like 350. Right now I'm probably like 320, 318, 320. I'm trying to get back in contender weight. But you got to remember, like, back in high school, I was probably 205. So I had a nice little dunk, a little two-handed slam, and when I dunked, I literally watched the backboard shatter in front of my face. And I was like, in my head, I go, wow.
Awesome.
It's
get
probably,
out of
I'm
here.
Like, I didn't say awesome. I said, wow, that's probably going to hurt a lot. So I let go of the back. I let go of the rim. I had enough time that I landed. I looked straight up, and then all I saw was glass, like, raining down on me. So I had just
oh my
enough
gosh.
Time. I put my hands over my head, and then I just got imagine, like, the worst torrential downpour of rain you've ever had in your life. But I had that with glass. So that just showered over me. And, of course, I was fine. I kind of walked over to the side, and then all of a sudden I got 20 people running over to me. They're like, oh, my God, don't move. Sit down. Are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. They're like, what's your name? What day is today? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what are you talking about? What's going on? And I went to wipe my the sweat off my face, and when I moved my entire hand was coated in blood because I had just been – I had been cut up, like, my entire head was – and at this point in time, I know it's hard to imagine me now. I had long, like, my hair was down to, like, past my shoulders.
Wow.
Like, my head was cut up. My arms were cut up. My couple places on my hand were actually sliced open. I had a place that was sliced open on my hand, and one of my veins from one of my tendons was actually, like, sticking out of my hand.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, it was pretty intense, and it wasn't until I saw the blood that I actually realized kind of how severe it was. I will never forget, though, so – They called 911, and, you know, it's a big deal. And as they're walking me through the hallway to go kind of to the front of the school to get medical attention, two people walk past me going the other way, and I hear after I walk by, they go, wow, somebody threw Big Gene through a window. And clearly I got on basketball gear. I got coaches and all kinds of things around me, and the first thing someone assumed was somebody threw me through a window. So I just remember but I mean, that was, man, when I said that was the worst day of my life, I think I had to, because here's with a basketball rim, it's made of like fiberglass. It's not regular glass. So if you get cut with that, you can't just wipe it off, because if you try to like brush it off, it'll cut you more.
Oh my God.
I had to sit in a shower for 8 hours and just let gentle water run over my body. Now, think about how long of a period of time that is. Like 8 hours just sitting in a shower, letting water drip over you. It's like the worst torture you could ever imagine.
Oh my gosh.
I ended up, there were so many patches, like, because there was so much glass in my hair. Like, my long, beautiful hair, had to cut it all off. Like, it was a bad trip. It was a bad trip.
Oh, man.
Jeepers. Wow. I'm sorry I had to make you revisit the worst day of
your
life. If I knew it was that bad, I wouldn't have asked the question.
No.
Good job, Jerry.
You know, it makes for a good story, though, so it's okay. And I was definitely – it didn't stop me. I think I became more aggressive after that when I played ball. I was like, I wonder if I could break another backboard.
No, don't do that again.
Yeah.
No, no mas. No matter.
I never did again, but I won't say I didn't try, because I think from that day on, I think I tried every time I played basketball after that, and
wow.
Just no dice.
That had to be one scary day. But I have to say, I would love to see you with that hair. I would love to see pictures of you with
hair
that long.
Too.
You know, I can say, and like my friends that have known me for forever, like, no, I have had some of the craziest hairstyles that you like. I told you guys, my hair was down past my shoulders. I had that for a while. Then for a little bit of time when I lived in Orlando and I worked for a certain company, I actually had blonde, like super, super platinum blonde hair.
Shut up!
And I did it before, like, Cisco, like, tried to make it cool. Like, so mine was, like, long, and it was, like, and I used to have it. It would be
No, you didn't.
It'd be cornrowed to the back, and it would break. And you know what? Then I got even cooler because when I decided to cut my hair, I'm like, you know what? It's time to cut my hair, like, whatever. So I cut it down to about 3 inches, but I let my roots start growing out. So I had, like, frosted tips with, like, black roots. And I used to...
Do you have pictures? I need pictures.
I need too. I want to see this.
I want to
see this.
I was just mm-hmm. with my hair, so I looked like I was rocking like the blowout before Pauly D tried to make it cool. Like it was a platinum blonde blowout on a black guy. Like it was crazy, all kinds of gel. Like I mean, I didn't know
you were a Guido in Hollywood. What the heck?
If nothing else, I got a lot of good info out of that question. I want to see some pictures
now.
You
got a lot of info.
Yeah, that's a good question. Whoa.
Yeah.
I want some pictures now.
Yeah, I want pictures.
You know, I've gone through and I think I tried to destroy every known guy.
Oh, man.
Occasionally, one of those will pop up on Facebook or Twitter or something, and I end up having to pay somebody off.
Pay somebody off. So you said you've had just about every hairstyle. I want to know, did you ever have any, like, Bob Marley dreads?
Yes.
I had dreads for literally a week and a half. I got dreads.
You were like done.
My hair was long, and I didn't have dreadlocks because I think dreadlocks are gross. Like I can't go without washing my hair and like whatever. But I had like actual like dreads, and I had them for a week and a half, and then I got a role in a movie, and for the role it was a period piece, and they're like, yeah, the thing is, if you want the part, we're gonna have to cut off your hair. And I was like, oh, whatever, it'll grow back. And I chopped off all my, and I had just paid and got it done, and they were looking fresh. And I was, all of a sudden, I was going to get my Malcolm Jamal Warner on and have like these long, flowing dreads. And then,
no, you didn't go Malcolm Jamal.
Oh my God.
And yeah, the next day I had like a low cut fade. It was like, oh man, what happened? Literally, I was so hurt by that. And then I don't know, I just kind of haven't turned back since then. I mean, wearing hats always been my thing, and I think it burned me so much because after I cut off all my long hair, then I had to like buy completely new hats because nothing fit anymore. Like my hats would be like four sizes
way too big.
I had all that extra room for hair, so now it's like, oh man, I gotta go buy all these little hats now. So I just can't go through buying all new hats again. So that's why I haven't.
Oh man,
we
need pictures. We need pictures. There's got to be at least one out there. If anybody finds a picture, please send it to my email.
Yes, we desperately want to see these pictures.
You know, the only picture I still keep in circulation, I have a picture of me with, like, from a headshot, like, I don't know, it had to be like 5 years ago. And you can actually see that I have like braids that are going like down to my shoulder, like hanging back.
Oh my God.
Only because I look super cute in that picture. So, but.
Oh, I want to see.
Me too.
Pictures of me looking super cute are in limited supply. So, you know, I can't be getting rid of those.
I think you probably look super cute in just about every picture. So, come on now.
I need you to email that to every woman in America who's single's personal email address.
Ooh, you heard. Well, it's not Manic Monday, so every woman's going to find out anyway.
You know it.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, that's right. I got a
question for you, Gene, Mr. Charmer. How did you get the nickname Hollywood?
I was just.
You know what?
Right, Milan?
I was asking that question too. How did you get the nickname Hollywood?
Well, mm-hmm. I'll give you two answers. One, Michelle, you hung out with me in real life, so I think you know the reason why my name.
No,
is
you
Hollywood.
Are Hollywood. No, I think motherfucking Gene. I'm like Hollywood.
Yeah.
No, but you know what? It's actually kind of a weird story because a lot of people don't know this, but before like Hollywood, California was like the big place to be. Like the film industry was in Chicago. So Chicago was the original, like, Hollywood. So when I was living down in Florida, everyone like was like, oh, this guy's from Chicago. And my friends down in Florida just started calling me Hollywood. They're like, man, this guy's real Hollywood. He's like, then it was kind of like, oh, it's the original. And then when I was in Chicago one day, I'm hanging out, and it was just after going to a club, and I met a girl. I'm talking to her, and it was actually, long story short, come to find out, it was Michael Clark Duncan's daughter. And she's like, she's like, they used to call my dad Hollywood. I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, before he was acting, when he was doing bouncer stuff and doing personal security stuff, like his nickname was Hollywood. And I was like, really? And this kind of, after I heard that, and I just had tremendous respect for Michael Clark Duncan. I thought he was a great guy. He was a great ambassador for our city.
Absolutely.
And after that, I was like, you know what, I'll stick with it, because I was real kind of finicky about that nickname. Obviously, like, kind of doing what we do, having the nickname Hollywood isn't really a great thing, because Hollywood usually has a bad connotation that goes with it. But just knowing that if that worked for Michael Clark Duncan and how great of a man he was and just how respected he was, I'd like just to be kind of thought of in that same sense was enough for me to be like, yeah, I'm fine with that. I accept that. Like, and it's about changing it. It's not about making it a bad perception or making at the end of the day, it's all about how anything is perceived. And I embraced it, and I said, you know what, that is me, and I go with it. And on my friend, I literally, when I left for the show, the crazy thing was my cell phone had, when I turned my phone back on, I had a 100-some-odd missed calls from people that have known me for years and swore that my driver's license said Hollywood. They didn't know any other name. They didn't know who Gene was. They were watching The Glass House, and they're like, yo, why do you keep saying Gene? That's Hollywood. Like, and that's just kind of how I've kind of adapted, and I like it myself. And I mean, obviously, if you hang out with me in real life, you see I kind of got a Hollywood swag to me. So I think it's probably the most appropriate nickname I've had over the years.
Very appropriate.
Do you have, Gene, do you have any aspirations to actually relocate to Hollywood?
You know what? Michelle knows why that's a sore subject. Until a little while ago, I was not going to move back out to Cali. I was kind of working on some things, trying to work a situation out, and it would have totally killed that situation if I moved out to California. But where I am at this point now, then yeah, it looks like I'll be moving back out to Cali probably in the springtime.
Hey!
Look at that, Luan.
Luan, I was talking to our friend Kara the other day, and I was talking to Kara, and Kara knows about it, so she's super excited. But I was gonna tell you, and then I haven't talked to you since I hit you up on Twitter the other day.
Well, now he knows.
Breaking news on the Rad Reality Show on Manic Mondays.
Yo, that's an exclusive. That the only person who knew about that outside of Kara is you guys. So now, yeah, that's an exclusive right there.
Breaking news. Now, Gene, if I say this to you, I want you to tell me what you think, okay?
All right.
Only the dash matters.
That is the model that I live by. That's my creed. I've had several kind of models throughout the years, throughout my life, and it's a tribute to my best friend that passed away. Because at his funeral, I heard a really touching kind of speech, and during when the speaker was speaking, the point was that. Because long story short, I mean, it's a great, in detail, it comes from a poem, and you guys can look it up. It's a great poem. But basically, it's saying that it doesn't matter what year you're born, and it doesn't matter what year you die. Because, you know, you look at Tombstone, you see the birth year, you see the death year, and there's a little dash in the middle. The point is that it's not about how long or short your life is. It's what you do with that dash in the middle that really matters. And that's all that's important in life.
Wow. I knew that was going to be good a question, damn it.
That's it. You know, and since the day that I heard that has been my motto. That's going to be the motto for the rest of my life, because at the end of the day, only the dash matters. It's what you do with that little bitty dash. Like, and everyone focuses on those 2 years, but what's important is what you do with that dash in your life. That's the only thing that matters.
Did everybody's heart just do a skip? Because mine did.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. That was awesome.
I did a wave of a hand. Like I was in church.
And now we go past the conference.
Now, Gene, we're going to be ending the show soon, and I just want to say thank you so much for calling in and having you on with Jeffrey and Mr. Luan. But I want to ask you, is there anything that you want to let us know, maybe promote, or maybe some charity that you're helping out with, anything that you want to let us know besides what you're already doing?
You know what? I got some things that are in the works right now that I can't officially break that news right now, but I'll definitely call back in and let you guys know in a couple weeks. I got a couple irons in the fire that it's something really big, really huge. It's going to affect a lot of people, and I'm really looking forward to making this announcement. So that's all I can really say right now. I do, however, appreciate you guys having me on the show. You guys are awesome. I love all of you guys. You guys are amazing. And keep up the awesomeness. Keep up the good show. Make sure you tell all your people to follow me on Twitter if they're not already.
Can you tell them your Twitter handle name right now so that they can follow you? I follow you.
Yeah. My Twitter handle is @StuntmanGene, all one word. Gene spelled like a boy, not like a girl. I'll let you guys in on a funny little secret. I actually used to bust on Joy about me. Me and Joy had a nice little rivalry, I say, going back and forth. And for as much as I demolish her on Twitter, I think Joy's Facebook fan page has like 11,000 people, and my Facebook fan page has, I think, last time I checked, it had 63. So,
whoa.
I mean, you guys see how often I'm on Twitter. I clearly am neglecting my Facebook fans. I really need to step up my Facebook game, I guess, or Twitter just needs to go ahead and buy out Facebook, which is never going to happen. But.
So well, go and like Mr. Gene on his Facebook page.
Yeah, for sure. Everybody go like my Facebook page. It's Hollywood Gene, and Stuntman is in parentheses. That's the only fan page I have. There's a couple fake ones out there. So yeah, Hollywood Gene, Stuntman. That's my only Facebook page.
We'll do that.
Just let you know, Gene, that whenever you want to come back on Manic Mondays, we would love to have you back on. Not only being on here, but you are my boy, and I can't wait to see you in a few weeks.
Cassie,
so thank
you
so much.
I appreciate you guys having me. Luan, call me when you get off the phone.
Okay.
<Woo!
laughs> All right, guys. I gotta leave, so I'll talk to you guys
later.
All right.
Gene, thank you so much, and we do want you to come back on and let us know when you are able to release that exclusive information. Please do.
I will exclusively break it on your show.
Thank you
awesome.
So much. You have a great night, and thank you again for being on the show.
All right, guys, take it easy. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Well, Mr. Lawan, I just want to say thank you for coming on. You just made it in the nick of time. But you always bring such a – the minute you called in, I have had a smile on my face, and I've had such a crazy day. And I want you to have a Jetson car. Do you want a Jetson mobile?
Jetson mobile.
Yes.
Okay, because we decided at the beginning of the show that we want all to have Jetson mobiles, and then they turn into briefcases. Yay. The one's probably like, what the fuck? But he's probably like, at the same time, like, yeah, I know what's going down. Well, listen, guys, today's Veterans Day again. There's only a little bit more time left. Technically, it was yesterday. Today, we also got to enjoy that it was getting celebrated. I believe that it needs more than 2 days to be celebrated. It needs to be celebrated every day. So thank you guys for taking out the time to join us, and I really appreciate Gene and Jeffrey calling in, and Mr. Lawan, I knew you were to call in. I'm glad that you took the time to call in, and Paul and Cherry, love you guys. Let's start closing off the show. What do you think, Cherry and Paul and Mr. Lawan?
I want to remind everyone once again about our Hance family reunion tomorrow night. We're going to have a big show tomorrow night with all of the Hance boys, and we're going to be bringing on a Hance family member that has not been introduced on TV or radio, Mr. Brian Hance, that has not been on any TV or radio show so far. So we're introducing a Hance family member that's new to everyone. We're going to have all the other Hance boys on the radio show at the same time. So this is going to be a great, fun show. We're taking questions from people. If you have a question, send them in to myself or the Rad Reality Show group page. You can send them to Paul as well. We're taking questions. We'll be asking them throughout the show and finding out all kinds of information about the Hance brothers and uncles and cousins and all of that. So remember to be here tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central.
And then we'll be on to our Survivor show with Mr. Travis Sampson, also known as Bubba from Vanuatu. And then on from that, we have our The Amazing Race show, TAR's second pit stop with Mr. Louis Stravato. That show is also at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. And then we get back to our Manic Monday show.
Woo!
Right here with Michelle Costa, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central.
Yes!
So
that's right. And I know me and Miss Cherry need to talk, but we'll see. We might be having a very interesting guest, as usual, next Monday, right?
We will. Okay. That's right. We have a very interesting guest that we may have on for next Monday. And somebody that was actually just on the Jeff Probst show not long ago. So
we're bringing epicness to Manic Monday as usual. You never want to miss out.
That's right.
You don't. And I also want to say thank you to the Flippin' Chat Room because they are off the meat rack, okay? And also the listeners and everybody else that will be listening. Right, our widget. Hello,
Mr. Mr. Boom Boom Ben brought in somebody to our show last night on Louie's show. She is a Maxim hottie, and she is doing a competition for Maxim. If you go to http://www.maxim.com/hometown-hotties/, and her name is Persephone. And it's -Hampton-NH for New Hampshire. Vote for Persephone. She is in the Hometown Hotties contest for Maxim. She's going to be in the December issue of Maxim. She's a beautiful girl. And she's, you know, up there on the East Coast with all of our wonderful people that we have on the show here. Michelle, I know she's in sort of your neck of the woods as well.
She's about 2 hours away.
And I love her name. Her name is Persephone L'Esperance.
Doesn't she just sound like she belongs in Maxim? Hello, Persephone.
I know.
Sexy.
I know. Isn't that a great name?
That is hot.
Isn't that a hot name? So go and vote for Persephone every day. You can vote by phone and on your computer once a day. So we want to mention that. And I think that's about all the announcements we have for today. Michelle, thank you so very much. You always
show. I just want to say one thing beforehand. Sorry, Cherry, I didn't mean to do that. But we actually haven't been on since the voting happened. And I just like to say that thank you, everybody, for voting. Every vote counts. We have the next 4 years to look ahead of us. We don't look behind. We look forward. And I'm very excited to see what happens. I think we can only go up. You know, it's rock bottom. There's a lot of things going on. And as long as we all stick together, especially with these, like what happened between yesterday and today with Veterans Day, just knowing that we all just need to stick together, all right? After something like that, people become separated for a little bit, you know, and then now we're going to join together. So that's what we need to focus on. We need to focus on now we're voting as one, now we all as one, we smile as one, we pray as one, we sleep as one, we eat as one, we all that. So now let's just get these few years joining forces and moving in the right direction. Sorry, I just wanted to say that.
That's quite all right. We all do need to look forward and just have hope in our hearts and just hope for a better future for all of us. So I agree with you.
I'm excited.
I am too. I'm very excited.
I'm very excited. So, can I just say something real quick? Just real quick.
Absolutely.
I just want to say to everyone, my fans, everybody that's listening to Mega Monday, from weeks from now and just until today, do not forget about our Hurricane Sandy victims.
I
know that it's always in the news all the time, but then we get faded away. This really hit everybody. Yep. So I try to do my part to make sure that each day, try to do something that I'm pretty sure people know people on the East Coast or what have you, but do not forget our Hurricane Sandy victims.
That's right. We got to close the show, babe. Thank you so much. Take care, everyone, for being here with us. I'm going to close the show with Ron, as we always do. Thank you so much, Luan, for being here. We love you, babe.
Love you a lot.
Here's Ron to close the show.
Thank you, guys.
Love you, everybody.
Have a great night. Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Well, it's time to go.
Good night, sweetheart. It's the end of our show.
Thank you, everyone. Take care, be kind to each other, and God bless.